Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
We'll get into the Word and see what else does He want to tell us, but you know, when we stir up the Lord, and what do I mean by that? When we come here and minister to the Lord first, He can't help but want to tell us something good. He can't help but want to drive pain and aggravation out of our life, Cliff. See, He'll do that during this message. You watch Him to do it for you. Now, see, what was that about? A word of knowledge. A pain will go out of His body. See, the same kind of pain that I had when I walked in the door, right about there, see. And it'll go, we say, how do you know that, Pastor? I looked at him, Lord said, tell him, pain will go from his body while you're speaking this word. Now, why not double up and get something extra out of a service? If we're going to come in here, we need to know what kind of Jesus we're taking out when we go. I'm going to tell you what kind of Jesus He is. He's the one that gives life and life more abundantly. And that's the word Zoe, and that means life beyond our imagination. That means that when we think about something wonderful and we kind of doubt it, we're supposed to believe it instead of doubt it. See, that's the something wonderful that He wants to do. You say, well, what Jesus is this? Jesus of the Bible. So we go there to find out what does He have to say so that we can get in on the doing of it. Now, He's out to bless you. The other part of John 10 is that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus never does that. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest misunderstanding in the church world today, I believe, is people think God's just in control of everything, so everything turns out the way He wants. That's simply not true. See, the devil is the god of this world. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, the devil took over. We overturn the devil's power in our life when we become a child of God. It's true, every person's created by Him, and we're created in His image. That means we look a little something like Him. But what he goes on to say is if we want to come into the family of God, originally, before Adam and Eve fell, everybody was, you see. But when they fell, they went over to the dark side. They became a part of, we'd call it the family of man, making a man choice. And the devil took advantage of that. And the devil tried to bring man into bondage, and he succeeded for the most part. But we who are alive in Christ Jesus have been born again, and that means we've been given a second chance to come into the family of God. That means we're adopted into the family. It means we're on equal terms, with equal opportunity, with a God who loves us the same, and His DNA will come upon us as we hear His word. What does that mean? Our mind gets changed to line up with His mind. Then it's not hard to imagine He's a God only of blessing. That's how we learn. He doesn't do any of these bad things. There's somebody else behind that, called the enemy, and we can learn to not put up with him. We can learn to get him removed from the premises of our life. And we each have the authority that Jesus gave us to do that. And we have to use that authority. Today, when I'm ministering, I believe that in your heart, you will rise up to use that authority to come up to another level. I'll say it this way, the devil can't stop you unless you cooperate with him. Don't cooperate with him. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Life. You cooperate with the Spirit of Life, you'll get more of the goodness of God in your life. Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to bother coming to church, see, you could be home cooking for the Super Bowl right now. Many of you did that last night, I know. Got the ribs cooking already, don't you? I know he does. He's invited me to come have some. So I know there's something good over there. But he came out here instead. Now, if we're going to do this and be committed to the Lord, why not get everything he's got for us? Did you know that's what he wants? He doesn't want to withhold any good thing. He doesn't. He says, here it is. You can partake freely. Well, I don't know about you, but when I want to partake freely, I go to a buffet line. And I choose what I want to partake freely of. I like salad. But when I go to the buffet, I go to the meat. And then I look at the dessert, and if it's good, I'll get a little dessert. And if it doesn't, I'll go back to the meat again. Why? I can have salad at home any old day, and I do. And I like salad, but when I come to church, the same way, you'll receive according to your appetite. And what you decide to dig into, if you're going to eat meat, you need a knife. If you're going to eat till you're satisfied, you loosen your spiritual belt. And it's not a moment of fasting when we come into the banquet table of the Lord. It's a time of feasting. You know, when do I fast? When I think I'm in the presence of my enemies. He says, he set a table before me. I eat a little nibble and go. I'm on guard if I'm in the presence of my enemies. But when I'm in the camp of my friends, I'm going to dine on the goodness of God and partake on all that he's got for me. Today will be like that for you. It's up to you. But here in this house, in this family, we celebrate every level of progress we can in our walk with God. In that, we embrace anybody that wants to come to church here to hear God's word, but we also don't compromise his word. We just say what it says in the Bible. We have a rule here. We don't make anything up. We've got to find it in the Bible. Why? Then you can decide to believe the Bible as God's word and make it the top authority in your life. And I can't do that for you. Your believing the Bible does that for you. You're lifting the name of Jesus higher and saying, I believe that's the truth. And sometimes the truth is different than the facts. You're going to discover that there's some things that are facts in your life right now that the truth of God's word will overturn. And what you thought was never going to change in your life is certainly going to change for the good. Now, with that, we can begin. The thought today has to do with getting ready and living in a state of readiness, living in a state of progress as a Christian. There's no standing still if we want to honor the Lord and serve him. There's also no condemnation in Christ Jesus if we're growing. That means when you hear something in a message and you say, oh, that pertains to me, you should be excited rather than ashamed. And then it's what we do next that matters. If we hear something that provokes change in us, we just need to go with it. Because what we're going with is the Holy Spirit of God, the one called alongside to help us. When we reject God's word, we're rejecting God himself. We're saying, Holy Spirit, I don't believe you can help me. I'm a lost cause. And you know what he says? Isn't such thing. There's no such thing. Now, in thinking of a wedding coming up, I don't know, I'm guessing everybody gets these, but we get these little cards in the mail with a cute picture of the bride and groom, and they're all snuggly, and they're out in the woods or wherever they took their picture, and it says, save the date, and it's got a date on it, and it might tell you a little bit more that you're saving the date for, you assume, a wedding, and usually it'll tell you, and that might be all you get at first. Is save the date, and you see him and say, well, what else? Well, we're working on it. We don't know. We're still trying to find a place, and we're working everything out. Well, will it be this summer? Well, we gave you the date. That's going to be the date. And we get excited, and there's a level of excitement and expectation. But we also begin a process of responding. We might congratulate them, and then we begin to plan, and we look at our calendar compared to that date, and we reserve the date. And then the closer it gets to that date, the more we give consideration to the event coming. And we might think, what do we want to purchase for a gift and start shopping? We might want to look at their registry and see if they've given some clues or hints or flat out said what they want. So sometimes it's real easy to find out. Other times you can't find any of that out, so you find out what does the bride's colors, what do they look like, and what kind of furnishings does she have, and how does she like her house to look? And we try to imagine to pick something that she will want and like. And the guy just, he's happy if she's happy, so you please the bride. You know, the wedding's really her party, and he's standing there waiting for her to come down the aisle, and that's his party. All right. But the wedding itself is for her. And we think of Jesus return that way. It's a party coming. He's announced it. He sent us a save the date card, but it didn't have a date on it. But he wants us to plan with an open end to be called up at the last second by the sound of a trumpet. And he says, that's enough to go by. So once we work through that process and the day gets close, if it's a family member and you're going to be in pictures, you'll probably go on a diet and go to the gym and get a little extra sun or buy new makeup or get your hair color done. And we start to do things because it's that important of an event. We know that it marks history. It's an event that's going to change this couple's life, and they've asked us to be a part of that, and it's an honor to be a part. So we begin to respond in a way that calls up attributes of honor. Gets a little closer to the date, and we might look at the car and think we better run it through the car wash and vacuum it out. We better get special wrap. You know, they're going to have a gift table, and everybody sees you walk in with your gift. You want it to look, it needs to look right. It needs to have a special presentation. Why? It's a great occasion. We get ready and we go, and we don't show up late on time because the bride's going to walk down the aisle, and you don't upstage the bride at her party. And you don't dress in a bridal gown unless you're the bride. And if you're in the wedding party, you make sure that she's the center of attention and you're not. And then the groom stands waiting, and the bride comes down the aisle, and everybody stands. And it's a picture not unlike heaven, where there will be an event that's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we think we understand everything that will happen there, but it's not every Christian that'll be there according to the Bible. It's those that have lived a progressive life of relationship in responding to Jesus, RSVP. I at one time remembered what that meant because my wife told me. I just thought it meant send word back that you're coming or not. But it means it's French. What does it mean? Say it out loud in French. I can't begin to do that. But it means respond if you please. Did you know that we won't be able to respond after the trumpet sound and be seated at the feast? We respond every day in what I call a progression of things that show that we're paying attention to the Lord Jesus. And we want to look at that in the scriptures today, because there's going to be a participation in this life that brings us into that reception. It says, when we hear the trumpet like we were singing today, if we hear it, we're being called up and we'll go. And it'll be a reception and a celebration like nothing we've ever known. But it will be attended intentionally. We will have made plans. We'll know we're going. We will know that there's not going to be anything to hold us back. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 22, verses 2 through 14, and I'm going to summarize it. It's a parable, which means a story where Jesus was telling a story, but he was being specific about an event that would occur. And this was a parable about the marriage of a certain king's certain son, or we'd say the young prince was getting married. And the king sent everybody out that he could to give invitations to the wedding feast. He went far and wide in the kingdom, but it says there were three groups and an oddball in there, an odd fellow, I'm calling him. You don't want to be the odd fellow. But you just don't necessarily want to be in these other groups. There's group one, and they simply did not respond when they were invited. They didn't send in the RSVP, and when they were called up, they hadn't said they were coming. There was no preparation for them. Know that preparation at the table depends on your response first to Jesus. Then there was another group that made light of it. And it says they went to work at the farm or their business. And they didn't come either. Said they made light of it, or it was not that important to them. Or we would say today they got caught up in everyday life and didn't give it much thought. And there was a third group that chose to come out. They responded after he said, go back out and go to the highways, go all over the place and bid people to come in. It's a story that characterizes, it's Jesus talking about take Jesus out and bring people in. So what it is where the phrase comes from. It's that story, but there's a fourth situation mentioned. One fellow that came to the feast, he got there, but upon inspecting the guests, he wasn't dressed right. Well, I don't know, but most guys probably, your wives lay your clothes out to go to a wedding and get you set up to kind of look like you go with them, right? Ladies, you'd mostly do that. Or maybe you shop in advance and get a new outfit for that day because you want to look like you put in a special effort. There was one man that got there, and he used to bother me the most. He still does. He got in. I think, well, how in the world did he get in there? But says he wasn't dressed right. Scripture says that he was not just kicked out of the wedding, he was thrown into outer darkness where there's a wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's a description of hell, is what it is. So it made me stop and say, now, Lord, there's got to be a way that we can live that we're dressed and ready. Because I don't think in the moment the rapture takes place, we change our clothes. We've got to have on the right garment. Now, he ends by saying, so many are called, many are asked to come out, but few make the choice. He says, few are chosen. Why did he say few are chosen? Because this one fellow came in not dressed for the occasion, and he hadn't been chosen. He was kicked back out. So you see, I hear so many sermons today that kind of talk like God doesn't expect anything. And I think, you know, a few doses of that, and that'll be the group that stays behind when the trumpet sounds. Because he does expect something. He expects us to have a response from the heart. And that same heart that's responding to him will hear him when he calls us up. Not just calls us up to heaven, but calls us up to do something, to minister, to do something in the kingdom, to get plugged in and be a part. Wednesday night, I said, you know, there are gaps in the walls being built, and if you can grab somebody and shove them into a gap, shove them up in there. Why? We're supposed to be fitly joined together to do something for the Lord. So upon that, a lot of people laughed, and Lucinda said, we're going to ask people to sign up and be a part somewhere. Did you know you're supposed to? It's heaven practice. We're not going to float around with wings like angels around heaven doing nothing. We're going to be fitly joined together there, and we're going to find out the real reason we were created. It'll be bigger and better than here. Now, he said, so many are called, but few are chosen. It's easy to be among the chosen. I don't understand for the life of me why people choose not to be, but many people choose not to be. Scripture tells us the main reason why, it's because we're ignorant to God's will. And if we don't know what the scriptures say and we're living ignorantly, many people today say, well, I just don't believe that, or I've never heard that before in my life. Not hearing and not believing is what gets us into a heap of trouble. Because believing is faith at work. And faith at work makes God move and come running to a person to help them. It's faith that he responds to, not fear. He's not moved by our ignorance, but the devil is. That's how the devil gets in there to destroy folks. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have more abundant life. So we just want to yield to him. Now, there's a progressive work that's meant to happen, and we're going to find it in the scripture, because Jesus didn't just tell this story to scare everybody. He didn't just tell this so that everybody would be concerned all the time. What if he comes suddenly? If he comes suddenly, we can be dressed and ready to go. Now, we're going to go to Revelation 19 at the end of your Bible. And why at the end? Because God has a pattern. He tells us the end from the beginning. So what do? We can look in the Bible and say, okay, here's how it's going to end. Here's the beginning. And we learn how our relationship with Jesus is supposed to work. So this is a revelation of what's happening at the end and this great marriage party that they're going to have in heaven. I don't commonly, you know, Lucinda's the dancer. She's talking about dancing all the time. And she asks me all the time, let's get lessons so you can dance with me. Now, I've got to do that. I know that I'm behind. Because I know when we get to heaven, there will be dancing. And I'm not opposed to it. I just have really big feet. So I'm going to have to learn. But Revelation 19 tells us what the guests all have in common that get in. That's what I'm interested in. Rather than being afraid of not making the cut, show me how to make the cut. And most of us we're going to be that reasonable. I mean, this is God making the decision. We just want to find out, what's it take? Did you know he doesn't withhold any good thing, and that includes knowledge from his people? He wants us to have assurance and be positive and know. Recently I was praying with somebody. I said to them, do you know you're going to heaven? And there were three other people in the room, and two of them said, there's no way you can know that. I said, well, there certainly is too. And they argued with me, but you know, the one that was in trouble didn't argue a bit. He said, tell me more about that. When it comes time to be done here, we want to know some things. Can you agree with that? So, well, Pastor, that's a long ways off for me. Well, it'll come someday. Now, Revelation 19:1, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. If you're not comfortable saying it now, get ready. You'll be saying it in heaven a lot. So what do? We get kind of animated around here, and it's heaven practice. Did you know that? Heaven will be a very rowdy place much of the time. There will be other times where it will be so quiet you could hear the pin drop. That moment, that particular moment, is when the books are opened and there's going to be a judgment. Everybody in heaven's awestruck. Uh-oh, there's the book. Did you know that the book can have a lot of good in it? Yes. And that's what he's counting on, that we learn how to make ledger entries in the book that count forever, the right kind, the ones that are not in brackets or red ink, but the black ink ones. That's the ones we want, those of you that are in accounting. Now, this is what he says will come in these verses. We're to receive salvation first. You know what? That word means deliverance. It doesn't just mean we say we have Jesus in our heart. It means we let him live so big in our heart that it drives out every kind of opposition that comes against us. It drives out any addiction. It drives out things that are unhealthy in our thought life. It drives out things that could kill us or harm us. You know, there's one sin in the scripture that sends people to hell. One. One thing that we can omit from our life that God has no choice but to send us to hell, and that's to not accept Jesus as Savior. Did you know Savior means deliverer? And I'd like to think I want to let him get rid of every kind of mess going on in my life. So, well, Pastor, do you have any left? The older we get different kind of messes. Did you know if my body's racked with pain and having problems to not receive healing, he considers that a mess? Why, Jesus died so that my body could be made whole. It was broken for my healing and wholeness. So, well, Pastor, I've never heard that before. Well, it'll help you receive your healing to think that way. Jesus did that for us, and he wants us set free of that or delivered from that. Now, there's a second thing that he says that is a progressive work. We work on deliverance our whole life. I'm going to tell you something about this house and this place. If there's something that you know the enemy holds over you. Today's your day to be set free. It'd be so easy. Say, Pastor, really? Yeah, I think of it this way. If something's tormenting you, it doesn't mean that a devil lives in you. It means there's one hanging around messing with you. I'd get rid of him if I was you. And it's a matter of you making a decision and saying, I want to receive the fullness of my salvation. Many times the enemy comes to oppress people. That just means we get in situations or around people or try something we ought to not try. Much of the oppression in America is reasoned away by psychology. It says, oh, well, it's happened because of this series of events in our life. Well, the devil comes to some of those events. You get over there in some things of darkness. The devil likes to hang around in situations where there's darkness. And you can come to church and come into a little bit of light, and the devil doesn't like that. He'd rather be in darkness. Why? He knows he could be exposed and be expelled. Now, some of you say, mercy, I don't know. Oh, don't, Pastor, don't come over to me. But some of you are thinking, boy, you mean I can be free of this this thing that could hurt me or kill me? You betcha. It'd be the easiest thing. I've never been in the presence of a demon that it didn't go when I told it to. But the person that it's around has to be willing. See, now say, Pastor, what's got into you? We're a full gospel church. The Lord spoke to me yesterday and again this morning. He said, don't leave anybody behind in all the basic truths of freedom and liberty that you know. I said, all right, Lord, I'll just put it all out there. Can I do that? I'm just going to throw it out there. You can do with it what you want. Some of you will pile it up and take it home and chew on a little while. Other ones are going to take the whole thing in and say, I want the whole package. Now, the second thing is a progression of glory. We hear the word glory and we don't quite know what that means. It sounds like a religious word, but it means we've established right priorities and right judgments. Did you know if you're being oppressed by the devil, you can't experience much of the glory of God? Your priorities will be messed up. You start coming to church and think, well, they're preaching one thing, but I'm not able to do that, or I'm not able to live that, or I'm not able to produce that. Well, the next step is to yield to the glory of God. Say, all right, I'm going to receive some freedom from the enemy. You know, when Jesus comes in, he says we're supposed to have only one master. But Jesus comes into the heart, and the enemy comes against our head, and we've got to decide which one's going to win. Which master are we going to obey? We're going to obey the Lord Jesus. And when we do, the enemy loses his grip on our lives. And then we go into what he calls glory. Our priorities change. He changes our mind. Did you know he'll change your mind about anything that he thinks is going to hold you back or hurt you? He's going to change your mind about the past and show you a more glorious future. He's going to change your mind about the workplace that you might be complaining about, or the boss that you think is so tight you'll never get a raise. He'll change your mind about that and cause your words to change and cause you to line up, do a better job at work, cause the boss to think you're wonderful and give you favor and say, why don't you move up, step up a level? But it might mean more responsibility. So, no, I want the money and no responsibility. Good luck with that. That's not a kingdom principle. You want a greater gain, you're going to have not pain, but responsibility. Responsibility might mean a little pain. Now, glory means establishing right priorities. That's a process. We don't get all that at once. We spend a lifetime learning what's important to God. Did you know what's important to God and what's important to people, for the most part, for most people, doesn't match up so good. It's not like even an almost equal sign. It's like backslash. We're putting these things together, but they don't go together. And what happens is God, over time, works in us to change our mind about things. Many times people don't receive healing, divine healing from the Lord, because they've got to have their mind changed. We think things like, well, I hurt my body by abusing it when I was young. Or I fried my brain. I had a man tell me this last year. I fried my brain on drugs, Pastor Doug. There's no hope for my brain. I said, I have hope for your brain. I said, I'll get rid of that devil too if you want me. What devil? The one that's convinced you there's no hope for you. That's the devil right there. And he said, well, I've heard my whole life there's consequences for everything. Without Jesus, you bet there is. The consequences of sin is death. But when Jesus comes in, he said, I've come to give him life. So we just bring Jesus in there and change things, don't we? Say, that sounds easy, Pastor Doug. It's easy as you'll let it be. It's as easy as believing it. Why? He didn't make this hard. Jesus did all the hard to make it easy for us. Amen. Now, glory means establishing right priorities and right judgment. So it just seems like I keep making a mess out of things. He'll change that. But it's a process. It might take a little while. Now, there's a third thing, and these are a progressive work that God does. He doesn't say necessarily all four of these need to be in top condition when we go to heaven, but he tells us we're supposed to be working on these things. That's what it is to be his disciple. It means we're going to work at it. Discipline and work. Now, a lot of folks don't like the idea of that. They want spiritual things to just kind of plop on them and be easy. Well, that's a false gospel. I've never seen anything God wanted to do for me that the devil didn't want to steal from me. Somewhere in between there is me, the giver and the thief, and I'm in the middle. You know what I've decided to do? Turn my back on the thief. Turn my hands out toward the giver. And I've just learned to live that way. And when the thief tries to catch up with me, I say, no, there's a barrier between me and you, and you can't get through. I know you're back there, and you'd like me to turn around and look backward, but I'm not going to look backward. I'm looking forward because God goes before me. Now, honor is the third thing that these people are going to have in common that make the feast, that make the cut. This is how we RSVP. These qualities are responding because he's given us these things to respond to. We've demonstrated value in Jesus' sacrifice. It means that we become more a giver than a receiver from him. It means that the tables are turned in our life and we recognize Jesus died for me and gave me new life. Now I'm going to give my new life back to him because we know we're recreated. We are reborn or born again. We are now a child of the King. Instead of just made in his image to look like him, we actually are part of the family. When we become part of the family of the King, we say, all right, you're the King and I belong to you. And since you're the big chief, I'm not going to be anything but your child and servant. And we have the attitude of a servant, but the DNA of a child. Did you know that's the most powerful position in the earth today? That's who we're called to be. A heart to serve him, but the knowledge that we have his DNA and we are part of the family and we're part of the kingdom. Being a part of the kingdom of God means the king is going to be for you in every situation. It means then you, when you walk into a situation, there's a different set of laws that apply to you. They're called the laws of God. That means if the fact is different than the truth, the fact might be what you see, the truth is what God says, you're going to lean toward the truth. You're going to say, I'm going to go with this because the truth can change the facts. And pretty soon, you look more like the King of Kings' DNA. You look more like him. Now, we have demonstrated value. How do we do that? We do that by cherishing his word. We do that by not being just a hearer, but somebody that's doing the word. You know, there'll be a lot of people that are in church this morning that wouldn't make the rapture if the trumpet came out now. I hope not here, but I mean, there might be. It might be somebody left behind. I don't know. That'd be pretty terrible, wouldn't it? But truth is, some don't qualify themselves by responding. Now, we can respond just at the first level of deliverance, or we can go on to the next level of the glory of God, and then we can start to take responsibility in valuing what Jesus has done. That's where we begin to give something back. That's where we begin to live our life for him. That's why I say here, We minister to the Lord first. Why? We're going to get everybody moving in that direction. What does it mean to minister to the Lord? It means win somebody to Jesus. It means go after people to see their life turned around so that they're not just made in the image of God, because that's not enough. We hear things like, well, all men are created equal. Well, we're not born again equal until we're all born again. There's a great division in the earth. If you haven't noticed it, there's a great division in society. Things are becoming more divided and fragmented all the time. But in the church, in the body of Christ, there should be a great coming together. We should come together under the banner of Christ Jesus, which is one of victory. And he's telling us how to do it here. We're not going to get to heaven and have a new status that we didn't have on the earth. If we go to heaven in this group, we're going to be living in this group while we're here. All right? That's the truth of the matter. Why? Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we're in today. That means whatever's going to be forever is supposed to be a happening today. And it should have been happening yesterday. Some of our yesterdays weren't so full of it. But today we're going to be full of the goodness of God. Why? It changes the forever part of it. Now, there's a fourth thing we're to experience. He says power or dunamis or some dynamite. Dynamite didn't come first. There's a progression here. Many times we want to hear a little bit of word and give me a stick of dynamite. I was kind of that kid at about 7 or 8. We liked to blow things up. I don't know if anybody else, but you know, we were farm kids and there were 3 boys, and you know, we'd go out and work and work. But we bought a lot of fireworks. We'd go out of state for I don't know if you could even buy them in Illinois. I think when we were little kids, no. Tim says no, but we'd go out of state to Kentucky. Kentucky, you can buy everything that blows stuff up. Okay, same with Tennessee. And we would go down there and we would buy things that we couldn't imagine how big of an explosion it would make. And we'd go in there and ask, now show me, you know, I remember walking into the fireworks store with my 2 younger brothers, and we worked all summer, so we had money in our pockets to go in there. And sometimes, you know, $100 to buy fireworks. So that was a lot back in the 60s. And we'd go in there and I'd say, show me something that'll blow things up good, big. And he'd say, well, these are cherry bombs. You know, and then there was another thing that it was supposed to be like an eighth of a stick of dynamite. Yeah. Is that what it is? M80s. All right, thank you for that. They see I'm not the only one.
That's right.
And we would buy that kind of stuff. And we'd go back and get in the van. My family had a van when we were that age. And Mom would say, now, you didn't buy anything dangerous, did you? No, Mom, of course not. No. And Dad would look in the bag and kind of snicker and close the bag. Nobody has any matches, do they? No, sir, we don't have any matches. Okay, put those away. You know, bag them up till we get home. And Dad would say things like, now, when you get ready to use those, maybe you want to have some supervision. And really what he wanted to do is have participation. He liked to blow things up too. Well, why do I say that? We want to get the power before we're ready. As I was telling that story, I heard the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear. In just a simple way, he said, get ready for my power to come on the church. Why? I think like crossing the state lines, the Lord lets us go in there and he trusts us with power. But his power is to help people. If you want to think of blowing something up, you're blowing up the works of the enemy. Amen. So that the goodness of God can be revealed. Kind of like removing a layer of skin. I've done that a few times when I didn't throw something quick enough. But the Holy Spirit wants to expose that which is good with the power of God. Did you know Jesus healed people and it had nothing to do with their faith? That's right. There was one fellow Jesus healed, didn't even know who Jesus was. The Pharisee said, who is this man that healed you today? And the man said, I don't have a clue who it was. He just told me rise up and walk, and I did what he said, and here I am. I'm walking and I'm raised up and I'm healthy. Did you know if there's believers in the camp, there can be unbelievers, and God will just, he can do whatever he pleases. That's right. You know what pleases him? Doing good things any old time, any old way for any old buddy. And what would happen? Sometimes that person that didn't know God would do something good, when they get it, they run around telling everybody, don't they, Brother Tim? See, we got a story in common that I think we need to get that on video, because we've got a testimony in common of somebody that was prayed for a lot around here. Just he pulled up his pant legs and said, look, Pastor. I said, what am I looking at? He said, my legs are healed. Jesus healed my legs. Don't you remember praying that? I said, yeah. He said, a lot of people prayed that. Look at my legs. This is a 70-something, it's Tim's dad, 70-something-year-old man, holding these legs up. Can you imagine? Did he do that for you? He probably did that. Yeah, see? Well, the goodness of God. Now, Tim's dad's a good man. He's just learning the word. But he's in trouble. And we told him God's good and he'll heal your legs. He said, okay, pray for me. Before I left this time, he said, pray for me again. I said, what do you want? He said, I want to get up on a cane, get rid of this walker, and I want to be able to go all around the farm and get in my gator and do whatever I please. Amen. I said, whatever you please. He said, is that a bit much? I said, no, I think that's the will of God. He said, how do you know that, Pastor Doug? I said, because the scripture says, oh, that's good enough for me. He said, that's good enough for me. Amen. See, people want to believe the goodness of God. Everybody out there wants to give it a try and tell somebody something good. You've heard that before. Now, we honor God in life with our life, and he blesses us forever. This progression is to go on forever. Those are four things we're going to do in heaven forever. People wonder what they're going to do there. Now, he might have recreation. I'm not going to say he doesn't, but some people think that's all it's going to be, is the great hunt club in the sky, or the great fishing hole, or the great tractor to run, or the whatever. He's going to have a paradise, he calls it. But we're going to have a responsibility in paradise to worship him. That's what we were created to do. Now, in verses 7 through 9, he tells us to be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. This is a scene in heaven. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Jesus didn't do it. The Holy Spirit didn't come and make them ready. They made their own selves ready. That means we can be prepared. That means we can respond. We respond with our life. We're not sending in a note to heaven. We're not putting something in the offering and saying, here I am, I'm ready. We're surrendering our heart step by step to him. And we don't know what to do until we hear it. The more I study the word, the more I know what he wants from me. He wants my whole heart, every part of me. I've been kind of stubborn with him through the years. I give him the pieces I'm ready to surrender and hang on to the rest with my teeth. Haven't most of you? I think that, see, we don't understand. He wants it all for our good. At first we think, well, what's he going to do back to me? You know, if I give this up, it's costing me something. I enjoy this little thing over here. I like doing this. He says, give it up. Well, why would he? Because he knows it's going to hurt us or kill us in the long run. See, now, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Well, that means we put on Jesus' righteousness. We recognize our salvation is in him, and we clothe ourselves with that true humility of we can't do anything right without Jesus, but we can do everything right with him. And we're supposed to be working on that all the time. And he said unto me, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. The true sayings. So you see, all that stuff about God killing and God taking people and their time has come and all this rigmarole, it's a bunch of trash. These are the true sayings. He wants to bless us while we're here, so when we get to heaven, we're not surprised by anything. He wants us to know what it's about while we're here. It's a progression that leads to an ascension. Jesus lived in such a way himself. He did all of these things himself as a man to lead the way for us to do it as a man, as a woman, so that we could have a victory that was not unlike him coming out of the grave. Did you know that's what the deliverance phase is? When we're saved, we're supposed to come out of a grave. We're supposed to come away from death, step out of the hold of death and say, death has no hold on me. Today, as I close in a minute, I'm going to open up the altar because you might find yourself anywhere in this progression. What we want to do is nobody be left behind. What does that mean? If you don't know Jesus, you don't remember a time that you ever asked him to be your Savior, you want to get your start today. You don't know how quickly life might be over. Say, pastor, preacher, say that to scare people. No, this one's seen a lot of situations. And most folks don't know when they're going to go, just they go. They say things like, well, my number might be up, pastor. Well, isn't that easy as a number being up? But you don't want to be caught not getting your foot in the door. Did you know that's what accepting Jesus as Savior does? I think there's a huge group that goes to heaven. It says there are many voices in heaven. But then it talked about another chamber, the wedding feast. Did you notice there's two groups there? There's the huge group, then there's a group within the group. The group within the group not only gets their foot in the door, they received the deliverance that he's talking about. They lived a life with different priorities, priorities that honor the Lord. We learn that as we go. That might be a little different for every person. Did you know that I'm not in a position to judge you whether you're living God's priorities or not? Right. What I am in a position to do is point you to what the scriptures say, and you go figure it out with him. And if you need a confidant, see your husband or your wife or somebody close to you. Because if you do ask me, I might tell you. I'm not opposed to that. Then we learn to live a life of sacrifice. See, today people think going to church is a sacrifice. It's a commitment. That's the edge of sacrifice. That's where we say, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to worship him on the Sabbath. I'm going to do what the Bible says and make him first and have no other gods before him. Did you know you might have some other gods, things that take a lot of your attention? Did you know he allows that, but it's God with a little g? He wants to be the God with the big G that you serve first, that you show up here and say, you know, we're going to do that right. That's the edge of sacrifice. That's where he says, all right, if I can get them to honor me this way, I can really move in their life. Did you know that brings you under what we call a corporate anointing? This is a house of blessing. This is not a place of pestilence. This is a house where the Spirit of God moves and sets people free. This isn't a place of bondage. This is a place where our hope is set on heaven, not worrying about whether we're going to get there or not. You're going to know that you're getting there. Well, I'm telling you today how to literally punch your ticket with God and make it easy to know what's going to happen. And at the edge of sacrifice, we come into the joy of our salvation. Up until then, I mean, deliverance doesn't sound very joyful, does it? Anyway, sacrifice, joyful. Yeah, sacrifice leads to greater joy. Why? We tap in to say, here, God, I'm living my life for you. And he says, watch what I'm going to now do back for you. You do something for the Lord. Watch him move to do something for you. You're saying, well, I've heard this for years, but I'm not experiencing anything. Hearing doesn't do it. Doing does. You can't be a hearer only. You ought to be a doer. So whenever you step out to do something for the Lord, say, Lord, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Did you know you're supposed to be excited about that? I'm doing it. Hearing it, I mean, honestly, I try to get you stirred up at the hearing it. People don't always get stirred up where they're supposed to at the hearing it. Usually we go, oh, how am I going to do that? That's a serious moment because in the doing, the blessing comes. And fourth thing he said was Holy Spirit's power. I tell you something as a church. What we want to operate at a higher level of God's power. How does that come? His power is a reward for sacrifice. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he releases power. But the power is released as we give ourselves to the Lord. It's kind of like learning how to blow up the cherry bombs. When Dad was around, he would say, now, boys, the best thing to do is don't hold it when you light the fuse. Be in a stance to run away. Don't put it inside something that might turn sharp when it explodes. You know, don't throw it at the cat. Don't, you know, he would make recommendations to us. Say, why? A little bit of power goes a long ways. But I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to teach us how to live with his power appropriately. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody thinks, well, it must be, everything must be constructive and religious. Are you kidding me? Jesus didn't do things to suit religion. He did things to suit his heavenly Father. He said, the things I do, I have seen my Father do, so I'm doing them. Did you know your heavenly Father made you to desire to have fun? He made you to desire to walk in his power instead of the counterfeit power. He made you a child of light and not a child of the darkness. He created us to walk in freedom and liberty. And when we don't experience that and we've not experienced the full delivering power of God, church is a painful place to be. Because we hear the word and we think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. It's as simple as believing on Jesus. Everything I'm saying today is as simple as believing on Jesus and saying, I'm going to get mine. Well, stand to your feet. We're going to open the altar this morning. Really, I'd say it this way. Prayer for anything that you know is the will of God. Say, well, I don't know. Then you come ask and I'll tell you if it's the will of God. Why? It'll line up with the scriptures. If it's good, probably line up with the scriptures. If it's bad and you want to hurt somebody, not going to line up with the scripture. If you want the power of God just for yourself, not going to line up with the scripture. The power of God is given you so that you can serve God with his power and have supernatural results. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, for those that have entered a season of willing sacrifice, see to it that you learn to walk in the power by giving yourself to the Holy Spirit more in each day, saying, Lord, here I am, your servant. I desire to do something that matters to your kingdom, and I want you to show me who it is I'm to speak to and what it is I'm to do. And he'll go before you, and he'll cause you to be bolder than you thought you could be bold on your own. For strength and power produces boldness in you, and you'll know that as you speak the word of the Lord, he'll stand behind you to do it. And there will be people that are considered hopeless cases that you offer help to. Watch the miracle-working power of God manifest in a place where others have given up and walked away. Watch God recruit into his kingdom through gifts of healings and other gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit that God himself ordained for the church to walk in. For the weapons of your warfare are mighty ones, capable of pulling down strongholds. Wherever you see a person under a stronghold, you have a weapon for that. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. And he will show you the way that you should go. And you'll find yourself saying things that are a bit too bold for yourself. And you'll say, now I've said it. I've gone and done it. No, you've said it. And God will go and do it. And trust the Spirit of the Lord to lead you and cause people's heads to be turned at the goodness of God. Wherever you see people's heads turned because there's a bleak picture of darkness or pain or despair, allow the Lord to move through you and they'll turn to take a second look, for things will surely turn around and the goodness and glory of God will come. Now, I had another testimony told me just at the beginning of service that I'm going to share. And I'll leave it nameless, but this person was in a prayer line that we had just like we're about to have again. And I'd made a pronouncement that the Lord was going to eliminate pain out of our bodies. Well, this person came up and got prayer. I don't know that we exchanged any words at all. We just did what the Lord said do. What he needs a vessel to work through. That's all I am. It's very little to do with me other than I believe what the Bible says. So I just do what the Bible says. And when people choose to believe it, then they receive something from the Lord. She said, Pastor, you remember when you prayed that? I had a pain in my feet, terrible. Okay. She said, it's gone. It's been gone ever since then. It's been gone. This is a person that makes her living up on her feet a lot of the time. That was a pretty important thing. Now, isn't God good? Yeah. And he didn't make some long, like, you got to make an application for God's medicine and fill out and get the insurance to approve it. Here's God's health plan. He gave it all so we can have it all. Well, let's believe that. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus and you want to receive him as your Savior, you'll want to come. If you've received him as your Savior, or maybe you haven't, and you're just dealing with darkness, depression, despair, despondency, anything that the devil, we'll pray for you. The enemy, the one that's plaguing you, the spirit that's plaguing you, will leave. You say, well, Pastor, does it make me a bad person to have a demon spirit? No, it makes you hurt to keep him. Why? It's like keeping company. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret. Can I tell you a secret? It's a good one. If you're struggling with an area of sin and you've tried to walk free and you know the Bible says you ought to be free of it, there's probably a spirit plaguing you. Because the Bible's true. When we're not able to be free of something that's holding us captive, we need to get rid of the captor. Say, Pastor, what's that look? It's just a simple prayer. Why? The anointing for that's in the house this morning, a tangible anointing, see. What does that mean? It's power and authority that the Holy Spirit gives. He doesn't want us to be bound by anything. So, Pastor, what kind of things? Any habit or pattern in your life that is hurting you or killing you or destroying you or costing you money? Any kind of addiction? Any kind of behavior that you keep repeating that you wish you wouldn't? Anything that brings about shame when you think about it? Those are things that the devil's in, and we remove the devil and the problem goes away. Did you know that? Yeah, that's why it's so hard on us is we want rid of the problem, but we don't get rid of the devil. We don't tell him where to go. I'm going to tell you already, I already told him where to go, and he can't wait to get out of here. And what do you just say, I want him gone, and he'll go. Now, there's somebody right where you are. You just wish you could be completely free, and you've been told you'll never be. You receive that deliverance right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Did you know it's that easy? He didn't make anything to be hard for us. So, well, Pastor, what about the power of God? I want to blow things up. Well, it'll be according to his kingdom. But did you know he gives his power to anybody that'll ask? He calls that the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that he wants to make your way perfect with the power of God? See, I'm just going to walk over here, right over in here, and I'm going to look at you all right over in here. Can I do that? Is that all right? You're kind of on the edge of the group. It's right over here. He wants to make your way perfect. It's the power of God that'll do that. And sometimes when the enemy's been messing with us, the power of God will drive the devil away. I'm going to tell you something. Where there's a struggle, get a hold of the power of God. The devil can't hang around the Holy Spirit. He's the opposite. So you embrace the power of God. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll want to be. That's the power. And I'll say what'll happen today. A fuse will be lit that'll never go out, and he'll keep exploding in your life to remove the stumps and the hardships and the problems right out of the way. He never stops working that way. Did you know he'll cause things to change faster than you ever thought for your good, too? He will do that. The Holy Spirit can do that, you see. He can accelerate things and get us from one point to another point, and we call that deliverance. What is that? A move from a bondage to a freedom. Sometimes we think we got to pay the price and work it all out, but he paid the price and worked it out. I want to pray a blessing over you, and we're going to sing a song. And while they're singing the song, if you want prayer for any of those reasons, or quite honestly, anything, and you trust the goodness of God to deliver it to you today, why, we'll pray with you before we go. And there's going to be a fine meal out there because you all cooked it, and it'll be good. And they're making me a plate while you're all still in here, so I get something good. And have them make Lucinda one, too, because she'll be here with me in the altar. Why do you say? Because we love to fellowship around here. But we don't want you to leave worse off than you came. We don't want you to leave the same as you came. If you came to receive from the Lord, he gives liberally. Scripture says he upbraids not. That means he'll give to you without giving you a whooping. I like that scripture. I used to quote that one when the switch came out. Well, Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We're thankful that Jesus came to give his life for us. And that we will know at the sound of the trumpet we'll be ready to go because we've made preparation. Father, worthy to escape the perils that would come upon this world. And preparing ourselves to rule and reign with Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we desire to be of that number, and it's our choice. You've made it clear. We can choose to respond to you or not, but today is a responding day. So, Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you completely this morning. Speak to our hearts that which you desire for us to receive in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.